We're going to begin a new year, and next Sunday I'm going to ask you to again set apart the same trustees that we've had here at the church. We have one other person that we're going to recommend to be a trustee of the property, Brother Jerry Atkins. And Jerry, would you stand where people just know who you are? Anyone that has any objection to Jerry Atkins serving as trustee of this church, you need to go see him and tell him what that is. And then after you see him, if you can't resolve it, come see me. We'd ask that you approve the trustees that are serving here now as trustees of the property, which is Chevy Roscoe, Bernie Woods, myself, Danny Binion. I'm leaving somebody out, Clayton Tuggle, Kenneth Scoggins, and Brother Adair Chapman, and Eric Jenkins. And so we ask that you approve that. I hope that I'll be able to go one more year. I'm in misery. I have an injury to my spine in the middle of my back that causes me a great deal of pain when these cold fronts come in. It drives my blood pressure up. My blood pressure going up causes my heart to hurt, and so I'm just really in misery during this real cold season that we're having now. But if I make it another month or two, God willing, I'll make it another year. I'd like to talk with you just a few minutes this morning about some of the works that's going on around the church here. As you all know, we're all volunteers. No one here gets paid. There's no one on salary or anything like that. The church pays my expenses, my lights, water, gas, and telephone, and things of that nature. God has been good to us and has allowed us to take what little money we have here and build a church. Our contribution at this church is about $1,000 a week, and we'll talk a minute about what comes out of that. Our office staff is a bunch of really wonderful people, Lois Horn and Jordy, and Al and Don, and all the volunteers that come and help around the office. I couldn't run an office and do all the things that's done around here if it wasn't for these folks, and they're all volunteers too. So we'd encourage our radio audience, if you're out there and you're getting old, or even if you're young, it'd be fine too. You can come over here and die with us and help conquer the world, because we're not going to go out with a whimper over here. We're going to kick up some dust as we go out and preaching the gospel to the whole wide world. Our office staff allows us to run the office around here on a day-to-day basis. Our radio broadcast goes out to all of North Texas. It goes into southern Oklahoma, over as far as some places in Louisiana and Arkansas. There's no telling how big our radio audience is. There are 6 million people in the broadcast area. But this radio broadcast that we have is generating a lot of people. From that, people are encouraged to call in and ask for tapes of Sunday's lesson. And our tape ministry right now is sending out about 100 tapes a week. That costs us about $1 a tape for the tapes, and it costs us 97 cents to mail them. So any way you figure that, that costs us $200 a week to run our tape ministry here. And we think that's phenomenal results to get 50 calls, 100 calls for people wanting tapes. Our internet ministry, last year, as of this morning, we had 4,990 hits on our home page. So we just round that off to 5,000 hits on our home page. However, people have been circumventing the home page and going to the sermon page and to the singing page, and we've had 69,000 hits on those pages, which comes to about 75,000 hits we've had this year on our radio broadcast, on our website. We downloaded 133 billion bytes of information. That's a whole bunch of information people have listened to out there in downloading our sermons. So we'd encourage our radio audience, you can go on our website and you can get yourself almost a college understanding of the Bible. In another year or two, you will be able to, God willing, if we keep getting these lessons on them. This month we're mailing our house to house and heart to heart. It will be mailed to another 7,000 homes right here in this area. That's going out right here in this area, all the way down to Lakewood, over to East Grand, then back down here to the church building. We have a gospel meeting that begins January 27th through February the 3rd, in which our students will partake of that. As you know, we have a feeding program here in which we feed the poor on Sunday. We're feeding about 350 meals now. It's a little less than what it was. We feed about 150 in the building, about 100 to-go plates, and about 100 street people out the kitchen window. All during the week, people come here and get sandwiches. We have a sandwich for anybody that comes here and is hungry at any time. We try to give people a sandwich. And so we're feeding a whole lot of meals here for a poor church. As you know, we give away about 3 van loads of bread every Sunday to the poor, to y'all, and then we also give it to the street people out to the back door. We have a school of evangelism and service, and which Walter, Manuel, Larry, Mike, and Arthur are all part of that now. We have 5 young students. Isn't that wonderful? You know, if just one of them turns out, it'd be a miracle. Maybe all 5 of them will. Who knows? I sure hope for them, and I'm praying for them. We have a hospital chaplain that's visiting people in Baylor Hospital each week. And, of course, our jail and prison ministry with Eddie Frazier, he's doing wonderful. He's over reporting this morning to the Walnut Hill congregation. So we have a lot of works going on here. It's not bad for a congregation that's supposed to have been closed down. We were all supposed to be dead over here. You know, I'll never forget 8 years ago, there was 40 of us left here, and we went to the White Rock elders and asked them if they'd please let us have Adair Chapman to come over here and serve as an elder. Well, we've buried all but 8 of those 40. And so to have a church here, we're supposed to all be dead, supposed to all be closed down. Everybody's got rich in this neighborhood and moved off out to the inner city. But you know something? The inner city's following them out there, isn't it? Everything they moved to get away from, it's right out there in Mesquite and Garland and all those places that they moved to get away from it. You just can't run away from it, folks. So we'd encourage you to trust the Lord. It's going to be a good year. You know, if we can preach when we're sick and down and out, we'll be able to preach any time at all. We'll talk to you this morning about a harmony of the Gospels. In 1980, I wrote a book called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in which we took the 4 Gospels, and I'm going to just kind of draw you up here on the bulletin board where you can kind of understand what we're talking about here. If you laid Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John side by side, you'll find that Matthew covers something and Mark covers it. Maybe Luke doesn't and John doesn't. Then you'll find John covers some things and the others don't cover it. And so you find some of these things that what's true is not one thing that God said, it's everything that He said. So this morning I'm going to read you a harmony of the Gospels of all 4 accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you just fasten your seat belts, we'll begin studying the New Testament. The heading, late Thursday night in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I will tell you each time when we jump from one book to another one, John 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden into which he entered himself and his disciples, Matthew. Then cometh Jesus unto them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go yonder and pray, Mark. And as he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly amazed and sorely troubled. And he said unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Abide ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass away from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible to thee. Remove this cup from me, howbeit not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he appeared to him an angel from heaven and strengthened him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became as if it were great drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And when he arose up from his prayer, and he cometh unto his disciples, he findeth them sleeping, and said unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, My Father, if this cannot pass away except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came again and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying in the same words, Then cometh he to his disciples and saith to them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise and let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that betrayeth me. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. The dash is the key there, mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. So what we're doing in each account, Matthew might say something about this, Mark might say something about it, Luke might say something about it. We're taking the fullest account. Jesus betrayed and arrested, John 18. Now Judas also, who betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received the band of soldiers and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, comes there with lanterns and torches and weapons. And Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that were coming upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When therefore he said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. Again therefore he asked them, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the word might be fulfilled which he spake, Of those whom thou hast given me, I lost not one. Mark. Now he that had betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that is he that taketh him, and lead him away safely. And when he was come straightway, he came to him, and saith, Rabbi, and kissed him. Luke. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they that were about him saw what would follow, they said, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? John. And Simon Peter, therefore, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Now the servant's name was Malchus. Jesus, therefore, said unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Matthew. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Or thinkest that I cannot beseech my Father, and he even now sent me more than 12 legions of angels? How then should the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Luke. And Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and elders that were come against them, Are you come out as against a robber with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched not forth your hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. And so this mafia of high priests have now arrested him. But all this has come to pass that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. When all the disciples left him and fled, and a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth about him over his naked body, and they lay hold upon him. But he left the linen cloth and fled naked. So this guy, they tried to arrest him too, and he just ran right out of his clothes. Jesus before Ananias, the ex-high priest, John 18. So the band and the chief captain and the officers of the Jews seized Jesus and bound him and led him to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was he that gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. The high priest therefore asked Jesus of his disciples and of his teaching. And Jesus answered him, I have spoken openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogues and in the temple. And all the Jews came together in secret, spake I nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them that have heard me what I have spoken to them. Behold these things, know the things which I said. And when he had said this, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? And Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Jesus is tried and condemned by Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, Matthew 26. And they that had taken Jesus led him away into the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered together. Now the chief priests and the whole council sought false witnesses against Jesus, that they might put him to death. Mark, for many bear false witness against him, and their witness agreed not together. They couldn't get their story straight. And there stood up certain and bear false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I'll build another made without hands. And not even so did their witnesses agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou art the Christ, the Son of the Blessed. And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Matthew. Then the high priest rent his garments and saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we to witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they answered and said, He is worthy of death. Then they did spit in his face and buffet him. And some smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is this that struck thee? Peter denies Jesus. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known unto the high priest and entered in with Jesus unto the court of the high priest. But Peter was standing at the door without, so that other disciples who was known unto the high priest went out and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Mark. And as Peter was beneath in the court, there came one of the maids of the high priest, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, Thou was with the Nazarene, even Jesus. But he denied, saying, I neither know nor understand what thou sayest. And he went out to the porch, and the cock crew. And that's the way it always works. The Lord had told him he'd deny him thrice before the cock crew. Now the servants and the officers were standing there, having made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they were warming themselves. And Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself, Matthew. And when he was gone out to the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This man also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, saying, I know not the man. And after a little while, they that stood by came and said unto Peter, Of a truth thou art one of them, for thy speech maketh thee known. Then began he to curse and to swear, I know not the man, and straightway the cock crew. Luke. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crows this day, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out, and he wept bitterly. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape. And we'd encourage you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Dawn, Friday. After dawn, Jesus is formally condemned. Luke. And as soon as it was day, the assembly of the elders and the people were gathered together, both the chief priests and the scribes, and they led him away into the council, saying, If thou art the Christ, tell us. But he said unto them, If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from whenceforth shall the Son of Man be seated at the right hand of power? And they all said, Art thou the Christ, the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye say that I am. And they said, What further need have we of witnesses? For we ourselves have heard from his own words. So Judas hangs himself. Then Judas, who had betrayed him, he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. But they said, What is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the sanctuary and departed and went away and hanged himself. Acts 1:18. Now this man obtained a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Matthew. And the chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, It is not lawful to put them in the treasury, since it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Acts. And it became known to all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch that in their language that field was called a seldom, that is, the field of blood. Matthew. Then was fulfilled that was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was priced, whom certain of the children of Israel did price, and gave it to the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Excuse me, that was Zechariah. Jesus before Pilate the first time. Matthew. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him unto Pilate, the governor, John. And they led Jesus, therefore, from Caiaphas unto the praetorium. And it was early, and they themselves entered not into the palace, that they might not be defiled, but they might eat the Passover. To come in contact with a Gentile would defile them, and they couldn't eat the Passover. Pilate, therefore, went unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If this man were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Luke. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this man perverting our nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, the King. John. Pilate therefore said unto them, Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. And the Jews said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the words of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying by what manner he should die. Pilate therefore entered again into the palace and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered and saying, Say this of thyself, or did others tell it thee concerning me? And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests delivered thee to me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. But if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end have I been born, and to this end am I come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. The oldest piece of the New Testament, the John Reynolds fragment, is that verse right there, a little piece from the year 125 A.D. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and saith to them, I find no crime in him. Mark. And the chief priest accused him of many things. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou how many things they witness against thee? And he gave him no answer, not even to one word, insomuch that the governor marvels greatly. Luke. But they that were more urgent, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee even to this place. Jesus is taken before Herod. Luke. But when Pilate heard it, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And when he knew that he was of Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was at Jerusalem in these days. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was of a long time desirous to see him, but because he had heard concerning him. And he hoped to see some miracle done by him. And he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood vehemently accusing him. And Herod, when his soldiers set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in glorious apparel, sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before they were at enmity between themselves. So as far as Herod and Pilate's concerned, this guy's dressed up Jesus like a clown and sent him back to Pilate. Jesus before Pilate the second time, Matthew. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release into the multitude one prisoner whom they would, Mark. And there was one called Barabbas lying bound with them that had made insurrection, men who in this insurrection had committed murder. And the multitude went up and began to ask him what to do as he wont to do unto them. Now, Sicarii were revolutionary radicals, and they hated the Gentiles, and they'd have real sharp knives they carried under their coat, and they'd get in a big crowd in the city, and they'd just stick a knife in you. And so Sicarii were assassins, and that's what Barabbas was. And Barabbas is like a shadow of the good thing to come. He's the scapegoat in the Old Testament. On the Day of Atonement, the Jews took one sheep and a goat, and they prayed over the sheep, cut his throat, and used him for the blood, and took the scapegoat out to the wilderness of sin and turned him loose, let him get away. And that's what we are. We're the scapegoat. Jesus pays our price. We as the scapegoat, like Barabbas, get to get away. Luke. And Pilate called together the chief priests and rulers of the people and said unto them, ye brought unto me this man as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. Nor yet Herod, for he sent him back to us. And behold, nothing worthy of death has been done by him. Matthew. When therefore they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him up. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. But the governor answered and said unto them, which of the two will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Luke. But they cried out all together, away with the man, and release unto us Barabbas, one who for certain insurrection made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. John. When Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and arrayed him in a purple garment, and they came to him and said, hail, King of the Jews! And they struck him with their hands. And Pilate went out again and said unto them, behold, I bring him out to you, that you may know that I find no crime in him. Jesus therefore came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple garment. And Pilate said unto them, behold the man. When therefore the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no crime in him. And the Jews answered him, we have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard this saying, he was the more afraid, and entered into the palace again, and said unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. And Pilate therefore said unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to release thee, and have power to crucify thee? Can you imagine how different that was for Pilate? Everybody that ever came before him, don't you know they snivelled and begged and whined and pled for themselves and did everything they could to get turned loose. And Jesus didn't say anything. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 or visit us at our website, www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Jesus answered him, "Thou would have no power against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee had the greater sin." Upon this Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou release this man, thou art not Caesar's friend. Everyone that maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard these words, he brought out Jesus and sat down on the judgment seat, as a place called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha, that is, was the preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. Now, John keeps a different clock than the Jews. John writes later in life, about 90 A.D., and he's keeping a Gentile clock from 12 midnight, while the Jews are keeping a clock from 6 o'clock in the morning. So in case any of you study and you see that discrepancy, it'll be easily worked out if you just look at what they're saying. And he said unto the Jews, "Behold your king." They therefore cried, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And Pilate said unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Matthew 27. So when Pilate saw that he prevailed nothing, but rather a tumult was arising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this righteous man. See ye dead." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." And it was at the destruction of Jerusalem in 40 years. Luke. And Pilate gave sentence that what they asked should be done. And he released him that for insurrection and murder had been cast into prison, whom they asked for, but Jesus he delivered up to their will. Jesus is mocked by the Roman soldiers, Matthew. Then the soldiers, the governor, took Jesus into the palace and gathered to him the whole band, and they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat upon him and smote him with a reed and smote him on the head. He's got a crown of thorns on his head, and now they're hitting him on the head with a stick. Jesus on the way to the cross. And when they had mocked him, they took off from him the purple and put on him his garments, and they led him out to crucify him. And they took Jesus therefore, and he went out bearing his cross for himself to the place that is called a skull, in the Hebrew, Golgotha. Jesus' first 3 hours on the cross, 9 a.m. till 12 noon. Luke. There they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." John. The soldiers, therefore, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made 4 parts to every soldier a part. Also the cloak. Now the cloak was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said, therefore, one to another, "Let us not rend it, but let us cast lots for it, whose it might be. And it might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my garments among them, and for my vestures did they cast lots." That's a prophecy from Psalms 22. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. John. And Pilate wrote a title also, and put it above the cross, where it was written, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." This title therefore read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh unto the city, and it was written in Hebrew and in Latin and in Greek. And the chief priests of the Jews said unto Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but he said, I'm King of the Jews." And Pilate answered and said, "What I have written, I have written." Matthew. And they that passed by reviled on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou art the Son of God, come down from the cross." In a like manner also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we will believe on him. The 3 hours of darkness from noon marked. And when the sixth hour was come, 12 noon now, there was darkness over the whole land till the ninth hour, till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that is, being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? A quote from Psalms 22. And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, behold, he calls Elijah, Matthew. And the rest said, let be, let us see whether Elijah comes and saves him, John. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things are now finished, that the scripture might be accomplished, says, I thirst. And they were set a vessel full of vinegar, so they put the sponge full of vinegar upon hyssop and brought it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said, he gave up the ghost. Now you have heard the story of the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. And you know, that's called in the Bible the gospel. It's called the power of God unto salvation in Romans 1. 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's us. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the Apostle Paul said. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, that which I preached unto you, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory that which I delivered unto you. What if you don't? Unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A historical event in which God intervenes in the affairs of men 2,000 years ago. He became a human being just like us. For since the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, the book says. Jesus became just like us, a human being, where he could suffer and feel all the things that we suffer and feel. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He never sinned. And now he's murdered by these wicked people, the chief priests, Romans, Herod, all this mob. It's like the five New York mafia families all got together and mobbed up against him. Much like that. And so the Bible teaches that if you believe that historical event, the gospel, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. John 1:12 says, for as many as received him. Are you willing to receive Christ? What does that mean? For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even as many as believe on his name. So what does it mean to receive Christ? It means to believe on his name. So if you're here this morning and you're believing on the name of the Son of God, there's no reason for you to be lost. But the Bible doesn't teach you that you're going to be saved just because you believe. James says, thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble. So if you believe that there's one God, so what? The demons believe that. Are the demons saved? No. So belief doesn't save the demons. And it's not going to save us unless we do something about it and put some faith in God. Now, belief and faith comes from the same Greek word. I know that. But you can't describe it in one English word. You can believe something with your mind and never flee to it and put your faith and your trust and your confidence in that to save you. So I'm encouraging you this morning, take God at his word. Believe him. He says, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So if you could just believe that, if you could just come to Him, if you could just receive Him by believing in Him and putting a little faith in Him, God wants to save you. He wants you to confess Jesus Christ as Lord before men. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. The Bible teaches that we need to repent of our sins. For the times of ignorance God has winked at, but now He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And what does that mean? It means we're going this way serving the devil, and we're ready to stop and turn and go the other way and serve God. Now, going this way serving God doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that we're not going to make mistakes. We're going to always make mistakes. We're going to always fail. We're going to always not be perfect. But it means that you're never going to turn and go back that way again. You're always going to keep going this way, striving to serve God. When you fail, get up and dust yourself off and start again. So the Bible talks about us repenting of our sins. And the Bible talks about us being baptized into Christ. Know ye not, so many of us have been baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into His death. Therefore, being buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So what do we need to do to be saved? We need to believe. We need to have faith. We need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We need to repent of our sins and be baptized into Christ. That baptism is a death, a burial, and a resurrection, just like the gospel. It's the way that you get the gospel in your life. If you're here this morning, you need to become a Christian, or you need to confess your faults and your sins to the church. You're going to have that opportunity. You can just march right down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ dearest to your home and ask, what must I do to be saved, before it's everlasting too late. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?